Good morning, friends. So, it's Advent. How's about, for a title, Angels Proclaim? Now, let me tell you, I have a problem with this whole Xmas thing. Firstly, Jesus was almost certainly not born in December. Secondly, the focus on presents takes away the focus from the only present that matters, and that is Jesus. Also, Christmas uses such Christian jargon, and that's another of my pet hates. For example, Advent. It has become such a magic word. And Advent just means arrival. But we never talk about somebody waiting at the bus stop for the Advent to the number 20. And as for manger, it's only a trough. So the whole Christmas tree thing is also a real problem for me. It's an old pagan fertility symbol. Let's not go there. And don't let me get started on about Santa. So in my mind, Xmas just undermines and trivialises the truth about the birth of Jesus. Of course, that's not true for many, many Christians who genuinely love the Christmas season and activities. So let's try to balance up all this seasonal nonsense with some real truth. And the Bible's the place to go for that. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 21. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back singing praise to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them. Let's look at verse 9 again. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. First, let's think about the glory that shone when the angel appeared. The glory of the Lord is a huge topic, and today we'll just have a wee look at it. The glory of the Lord can mean many things, but at its simplest level, it's represented by light. On the subject of the glory of the Lord, let's have a look at a couple of verses in Revelation. Revelation's got quite a lot on this. Revelation 18, verse 1. "After this, I saw another angel come down out of heaven. He had great authority, and his splendour brightened the whole earth." Revelation 21, 23. "The city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of the Lord shines on it, and the Lamb is its lamp." So, when we first become Christians, we begin to see God's goodness, his wonderful love, his glory. It's like a bright light gets turned on in our lives. For Paul, it was literally a bright light. so much so he was blinded. For others of us, it's a more subtle thing. Beginning to see just how wonderful God is lets us appreciate his glory. God's glory is often portrayed as a bright light. The important thing about bright light is it affects how you see things. It has a lasting effect. The shepherds were changed by the glory of God and by the message they heard. I believe it altered the way they saw things. Once we know God's glory, we can see things in a different way. When we've once taken in God's glory, once got to know how wonderful his magnificence is, we look at things differently. We can spot glimpses of God's glory in everything we see. We can recognise God's hand in every good thing that we come across. When we see the beauty of nature, we think of God's creative skills. When we witness an act of love, we rejoice in how God's love is reflected in humans. God made people in his image, so we can see God's glory in the good things about mankind. Once we've seen the glory of God, our perspective on things changes. We can start to rejoice in everything around us. Everything can be a reminder of the spiritual truth that there is in the Bible. Nature itself is purely a picture of God's immense beauty, his inventiveness, his new blessings. New every morning. God's compassion, his faithfulness can be relied on. And we know this because we have seen his glory, his glorious nature, his glorious character. And the best place to look for that glorious character is in Jesus. Shepherds. Now, let's think about shepherds. Shepherds are mentioned several times in the Bible, and God describes himself as the Good Shepherd. The image of the relationship between sheep and shepherd is an important one. But let's not kid ourselves. Shepherds have never been the most desired job in history. If someone says, "I'm a lion tamer," they probably say it with a bit more pride than, "I'm a shepherd." Sheep are not the most desirable or exotic or glamorous of animals. They're generally thick, normally live in poor conditions, and are prone to doing things that are just not good for them. And according to one shepherd, sheep have a habit of just dying on you for no good reason. So these guys, doing the night shift as shepherds, they're in a non-glamorous job and they're probably not that special. But see what happens. Verse 15. When the angel went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." And they hurried off. Get that? They hurried off. Did they leave their flocks unattended? We don't know. But it's clear this was something really significant. It really mattered to these guys. It's not often, probably never, that shepherds got to hear about something first. It's really interesting that the shepherds just ran off to see the thing that the angel had talked about. They acted quickly. Note the difference here. On many occasions in the Old Testament, when God intervenes, we're told that the leader built an altar or a monument or planted a tree or gave the place a special name so that they could remember God's action. Not on this occasion. These shepherds just up and off to see the Messiah. What about later? How did these shepherds react when, or even if, they heard about Jesus' ministry? Did it suddenly all make sense to them? We're not told. We have to speculate about how the shepherds felt over the following 30 odd years while this child they had heard such things about grew up. I guess they probably heard the local gossip that Joseph's family had run away to Egypt, because they were worried about what would happen to this special child. When Mary and Joseph came back from Egypt, they went back to Nazareth, not to Bethlehem. And that's about 65 miles away. Imagine, that's nearly as far as Edinburgh is from Kerry. Let's imagine how someone in Kerry hears about news from Edinburgh 2,000 years ago. I suspect they didn't hear much. And in fact, Nazareth wasn't a big town like Edinburgh. So they'd have been even less news. How much do we hear, even today, about some obscure family living in Inverkeithing, Burnt Island, Dalgetty Bay, somewhere like that? I imagine that these shepherds expected this baby they had seen to turn into something really special. How often did they ask if anyone had heard anything about the baby? I bet they picked up their ears any time Nazareth was mentioned. Have you heard any news about that wee boy, the special one? And how did they react when they later heard about Jesus' ministry? Jesus never came back to Bethlehem. Did they go to him? We don't know. On that night when the angels visited them, the shepherds' reaction to seeing the glory of God and hearing the good news was to rush off and see it for themselves. In what way does seeing God's glory make us rush off, make us take action? Or are we more inclined to build altars and remember past glories? In the Old Testament, there was a lot of stuff about remembering times when God had intervened in the lives and history of mankind in general, and of the Jews in particular. That remembering was often encouraged by the building of altars, the special naming of places. But even in the Old Testament, this looking back and remembering was always balanced with looking forward and expecting the coming of the Messiah. In the New Testament, I'd suggest the emphasis changes. There's less instruction in the New Testament about looking back. Because Jesus the Messiah has come, the perspective is different. Yes, there are things we should remember, and indeed the act of communion is done in remembrance of Christ's death. But far more, the New Testament is focused on looking forward, in going out into the world to spread the good news, in looking forward to the second coming of Christ. Notice that even the passage about the Lord's Supper, there is a looking forward. Jesus said, until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom. This looking forward is maybe best summed up in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 to 14. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day the heavens will disappear with a shrill noise, and heavenly bodies will burn up and be destroyed, and the earth with everything in it will vanish. Since all these things will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people should you be? Your lives should be holy and dedicated to God, as you wait for the day of God and do your best to make it come soon, the day when the heavens will burn up and be destroyed, and the heavenly bodies will be melted by the heat. But we wait for what God has promised, new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness will be at home. And so, my friends, as you wait for that day, do your best to be pure and faultless in God's sight, and to be at peace with him. Right, we've seen that as these shepherds saw the glory of God and heard the message, they rushed off to do what they were told about. As we see the glory of God and hear the good news, do we have the same reaction? Or are we more inclined to Old Testament thinking of, let's build an altar and look back and celebrate? So, to wrap up, our challenge this Christmas this Advent and every day is to take in that message of the angel. Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. When we repeatedly think on and take in that message and see God's glory, let's rush off to do his bidding and look forward to God's good things. That's it for this week, folks. So stay safe and hope to see you soon. Bye.